In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. Talk about a worship war. It wasn't exactly a new hymnal that had stirred up the Lord's wrath at Sinai. Moses had disappeared for 40 days, and the people of Israel were anxious. They begged for something concrete to prove that the Lord hadn't abandoned them. Evidently, the mountain with cloud and darkness and thunder wasn't enough. Or perhaps it had gotten a little boring to them. Aaron succumbed. He gathered an offering of gold. He fashioned a bullock and preached, "Here is the God who brought you out of Egypt. Let's make Israelite worship great again." Sacrifices were offered, bulls for a golden bowl. It was all done in Yahweh's name, but not in Yahweh's way. The musicians broke out, the feast began, they rose up to get down, enacting Egyptian fertility rites, probably. As someone once said, Egyptian style and Israelite substance. They contextualized their worship according to their own ideas. It did not please the Lord. Of course, the root problem is the idolatry that hides in every heart here today. We don't need Aaron. We fashion our own idols incessantly. The best are the familiar ones. My God wouldn't mind my little sin here or there. My God isn't as visible and glorious as I'd like in this wilderness world. I'm gonna make him a little more relevant and cool, just like I, aging white-haired guy, am cool. My God will do more impressive things than showing up invisibly in water, bread, wine, and word. His holiness will look like what I think holiness ought to look like. His people will be successful and healthy and cool. My church will be big and have the best music and be honored by all the world. It won't be filled with troubled sinners. I deserve better. Well, so much for the first tablet engraved on Sinai. We haven't loved the Lord above all things. "Go down, Moses," the Lord snapped. "Your people, whom you led out of Egypt, are bowing down to a gold-plated bullock. Leave me alone so that my wrath will burn against them and consume them. I will make a new great Israel out of you, Moses." To be honest, it is lonely at the top. Anyone who's ever led people anywhere, in a choir, from the organ bench, in a Bible class, in a seminary classroom, on vicarage, or particularly on a tour, knows the real temptation this would be. Can you imagine how district presidents must feel every day? Yeah, wipe them out. Let's start over. Good grief. Haven't you all prayed before tomorrow's election, "Create for us a clean slate, O God"? Just you and me, Lord. We'll do this right. So much for loving our neighbor. So much for the second tablet of the law. Moses doesn't bite. In fact, he fights back. "Lord, they're not my people. We are all your people. If you're gonna strike them down, then strike me down first. The Egyptians will mock you. The nations will laugh at your name. And you'll be breaking the promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Repent, Lord, Relent, Lord. Remember, Lord. Moses sounds like the prophets who will follow after him. Repent, relent, remember. And the Lord loves this. He loves to be held accountable to his promises. He loves to have you take his word of promise and forgiveness and life seriously. It is true. And the Lord loves to hear the plea of Moses for the adulterous, anxious, weak Israelites and for Aaron, the high priest of divided heart. How do we know that the Lord loved the plea of Moses? He relented. He spared his stiff-necked people and delayed their punishment. He sent his only begotten son to obey the command he first gave to Moses to go down. He himself went down, all the way down to the womb of Mary. And when confronted by our idolatry, sexual sins, betrayal, rebellion, and worship according to the world's pattern, he pleaded, "Father, strike me down instead. Give me the poison cup that, if that's your will, O Father, that your people deserve. Leave me alone on that mountain that your anger may grow hot against me, not them." And then and there, once and for all, the delayed damnation poured out in full. Consequently, there's no wrath left for you. This is declared by Jesus' resurrection from the dead. And through this relenting, your blessed Lord Jesus Christ has made Israel great again, new in water with the word, holy in the miraculous but humble-looking washing of water with the word, cleansed and fed in the blessed festival where you drink not a poisoned cup, but the holy, living, life-giving, sin-remitting blood of the one true sacrifice for sin. And prayed for today, right now, by the one holy high priest, the resurrected and ascended and reigning priest, Jesus Christ, our Savior. All these concrete saving gifts for you who trust the promises of this gracious Jesus. Can we help but rise and sing and fall on our knees and pray, "Lord, have mercy"? And he does. Thanks be to God in Jesus' name.